Welcome to the Right Take Podcast, news, ideas, and conversations at the intersection of politics and culture, a project of the David Horowitz Freedom Center. I will be your host, Mark Tapson. Welcome back to the Right Take Podcast. I'm your host, Mark Tapson. Thanks once again for joining me here at the intersection of politics and culture. We are just a couple of days away from Father's Day. And if you keep up with my podcasts or my writing, then you know that I frequently write about our crisis of masculinity, because I think that reclaiming the right kind of manhood is the key to salvaging our civilization. And that's a big claim. I know it might sound kind of grandiose, but the plain fact of the matter is that if you want a better world, which we all do, it begins with better men. Men of virtue and strength and character and vision and humility and, yes, godliness. Because the alternative is ungodly, and you can see what happens in a world that's dominated by ungodly men. In recent years, the cultural Marxist long march through the institutions has accelerated and thrown the world into confusion about the very definition of the words man and woman. This whole gender theory lunacy has left millions of young men and women conflicted about their own nature and about what it means to be a man or a woman. Well, today on the Right Take Podcast, I have a guest who isn't conflicted at all about what it means to be a man. He's even written a book featuring a dozen rules for embodying manliness, which I think is a timely message given the upcoming Father's Day. I've actually had him on before and really enjoyed our conversation. So did a lot of our listeners that I heard from. I think that he and his message are just the right way to lead into the Father's Day weekend. So stay tuned, because my guest and I are going to address this whole topic, and I know you're going to want to hear what he has to say. And as we go into this awesome little musical interlude, take a moment to subscribe to The Right Take if you haven't already, so that you don't miss any of the important conversations we are having here at the intersection of politics and culture. Be right back. I'm pretty sure that my guest today at the intersection of politics and culture is the only one I've ever had, and possibly ever will have, who is a world champion surfer, certified ninja black belt, and a Benedictine oblate, which is a sort of a Catholic layperson officially associated with a monastery. He's the host of the Bear Wozniak Adventure radio program and EWTN's motorcycle-based reality show, The Long Ride Home with Bear Wozniak. He's also the author of books, including Deep Adventure, The Way of Heroic Virtue, and one that he and I've talked about before on The Right Take, 12 Rules for Manliness, Where Have All the Cowboys Gone? Bear Wozniak, welcome back to The Right Take Podcast.
Thank you so much for having me back, Mark. Glad to be with you and with your audience.
Great to have you again. Your energy level never ceases to amaze me. You have a lot of stuff going on. Tell us about a couple of the projects that you're involved in or lead.
Oh, that's cool. Well, right now we've got so much, you know, I have my School of Manliness at schoolofmanliness.com. It's a non-Facebook community, and it's a place where men can come together, and we challenge and encourage each other, and we have a monthly curriculum we go through for manliness, and sons can also be, their fathers can also lead their sons through it. And while we're here in Waikiki Beach, we've had good waves the last 2 weeks. We've had epic surf here in Waikiki, and my wife and I just got back from sailing our boat, Spirit of Adventure, in the Caribbean. We held two different spiritual retreats on the boat during a 6-week period. So it was great. I just think it's the way God is. You know, he makes each person different. And as you follow your kind of the nature that God's given you, then you kind of find yourself getting to really be in the heart of God's will.
Yes, that's exactly right. Well, my only son is only about a year and a half old, so he's too young for Bear's School of Manliness, but I'll definitely sign him up when he...
Oh, that's so cool. What's his name? Can we ask his name?
Elliot. His name is
Elliot.
Oh,
that's so cool. Yeah, so cool. Yeah, I want to talk a little bit about fatherhood, you know, today.
Oh, yeah, definitely. We're coming up on Father's Day this weekend. So I definitely wanted to have you on for this kind of special Father's Day episode. How many kids do you have?
Well, my wife and I together, we have 5, and then two that are in heaven because of, lost them during pregnancy. But yeah, so they're all adults now, thankfully.
Fantastic. I have 6 myself, 1 also in heaven, so I understand. You have a chapter in your book, 12 Rules for Manliness, that's called The Adventure of Fatherhood. I think a lot of people these days seem to think that parenthood or fatherhood is more drudgery than an adventure. How is fatherhood an adventure?
Well, you know, I'll tell you what, that's so interesting to me. People think like that. I've had people come up to me many times. Oh man, you ride your motorcycles across the United States. You've run with the bulls. Airplane pilot, all this stuff. I really want to have an adventurous life too, but you see, I can't. I'm torn because I'm a father and I have these responsibilities. But I remember a time when I had moved from Surf City, USA, from Santa Cruz, California, to Waco, Texas, and I was in high school as a senior, and I'd had, I think they call it chicken fried steak and tater tots for lunch, and I was in a food coma. And my social studies teacher was droning on and on. But then there became this moment, like an epiphany. And I think it was the Holy Spirit, you know, giving me about my vocation. And I had this infusion, just the knowledge that one day I could participate with a woman and with the Lord to bring a human being into existence that would live forever. And it blew my mind. That to me, that was the greatest adventure that it could possibly be, to have that kind of kuleana, that responsibility and that ability to do that. And so my every decision I made from that moment on, even until today, is about, you know, being married to a good woman and being a father. There's just no greater, there cannot be a greater adventure than that. Look who you're holding in your arms when they're infants, and look who you're sending off to college, a human being. Made in imago Dei, made in God's image.
Yeah, well, I think that ties in with a quote that I was actually going to bring up with you. You write in the book that little things change, big things change, and something powerful emerges in the heart of a man when he becomes a father. What is it that, I think that was a great quote, by the way, what is it that changes in a man's heart as a dad?
Well, you remember that first time when your firstborn baby was put in your hands? And you're like, I'm going to break it. You know, don't give it to me. Don't trust me with this thing, you know. But within about 10 seconds, it was like, don't anybody come near. I got this. This is my baby. I'm protecting this baby, you know. And so it changes everything. And I just remember the first time I was dropping into Big Surf. I remember there's boulders bouncing around. The waves are so big. And I thought, I've got children at home that are counting on me. Why? What am I doing this, you know? But every little decision, I remember, you know, working three jobs, going through college. I remember choosing to go into the CPA accounting world instead of another direction because I knew I needed to be able to make a good living. You know, so many men get confused thinking that they're going to find fulfillment in their work. And some do. And it's really rare and it's really cool if you do. But most men find their fulfillment in having a job that provides for their family. The fulfillment is in providing for their wife and their family, and as opposed to fulfilling oneself by having great career success. I mean, I'm fortunate. I had the disposition, Mark, that as I had more children, I never was afraid that I wouldn't have the money, that God would provide. And I think a lot of the reasons why I'm blessed in my career was because God knew He needed to bless me financially so that I could provide for my family. But that's putting the first things first. You know, first and foremost is being a husband and being a father. And that's why this book, 12 Rules for Manliness, Where Have All the Cowboys Gone? It's all these chapters on, you know, a man's got to live by a creed. A man's got to be dangerous. He's got to have a life purpose, ride for the brand. But all of those first 10 rules lead up to the last two, which is, you know, how a man treats a woman defines him. And the second one is fill your quiver with arrows, the adventure of fatherhood. So all these other virtues, all these build up for those, that greatest of callings, and that is to be a father. And it's amazing because God is a father. You know, He's not kind of like a father. He's eternally begot His Son. And so men are an icon of God, the Father Himself. What a mind-blowing thing to be called a father.
Yes, I think all of that is very true. And I think that one thing a lot of men today are confused about is that their real sense of purpose, and you were touching on this a moment ago, their real sense of purpose lies outside themselves. And having a family to take care of and be responsible for and protect, that gives men real meaningful purpose. You also mentioned something a moment ago about how men treat women. We do live in a time, I think, when there's a kind of a growing anger and pushback among young men against the kind of feminism that's driven our culture over the last half century. And a lot of young men completely reject the kind of chivalrous behavior toward women that was considered a positive virtue in my generation, but is completely out of fashion now. But you say, as you mentioned a moment ago in your book, that at least partially and maybe largely, a man is defined by how he treats a woman. What do you mean by that?
Oh my gosh, there's so much to that. You know, I think the scripture verse for this generation that's coming out now is the angel said to Saint Joseph, "Do not be afraid to take Mary to you as your wife. Don't be afraid to take, you know, Melinda or Brenda or whoever to you as your wife." Men are sitting on the sidelines. They're not in the arena, and they're acting like cowards. And right, and I can understand that, because there's the feminazis out there who, you know, I can do anything a man can do. I can be just like a man. And then now they're saying, I am a man, you know. So I understand that. But God has a plan. And part of that plan is for this pendulum to swing back to what nature, God created for a man to be. So do not be afraid. I know St. John Paul II, we refer to him as a saint. His first writings were called Love and Responsibility. Love is responsibility. Thomas Aquinas said that love is willing the true good for the other. And John Paul II said it. Love is self-donation. So willing the true good for the other, that is taking responsibility. And a man feels all weak and yucky and confused until he puts his shoulder into the burden that God gives to him and calls him to, and he pulls that burden, and suddenly things start feeling right, and he starts feeling strong when there's a woman in his life that he loves and who respects him, and the children come into his life, and he just feels powerful, that I can do this, you know, I can do all things through Christ, you know. So, but the thing is we say, well, the world is like, you know, putting men down. And you notice my book isn't 12 rules for manliness. I purposely use the word isn't 12 rules for masculinity, because that's been co-opted. I use the word manliness because it comes, the word man in the Latin is vir. It means virtue. And the other word for man in Latin is homo sapien, you know, humu. That word means earth. Like when God created Adamo means earth. Men are made out of mud. You know, we're made to have grit. But God infused into Adam a living soul when he breathed into him. So we also need to have grace. A man that has the grit and the common sense and the willingness to develop skills and to lay down his life in sacrificial love, but doing that not on his own strength, but on the strength of the Holy Spirit. Wow, that's an ultimate man right there. Grit and grace, you need both.
Yeah, you hear this phrase war on masculinity pretty often these days, and our culture does seem to be waging a war on men's nature, calling it toxic. You go a little bit deeper than that in your book, and you say that it's actually Satan that is waging a war on men. Why does Satan hate men, and especially fathers and fatherhood?
Well, he hates God the Father. And we're the icon of the fatherhood on earth. And remember, Jesus called Satan a father. He said he's the father of lies. He's the great counterfeit. So there is that war against life itself, you know, the culture of death in our society. And he hates God, and he particularly hates fatherhood. But I also say that we brought this on ourselves. When I was younger, the pill came out, and men began to say to women, if you really love me, you'd have sex with me. You know, you'd just take the pill. If you really love me, you would move in with me. Just take the pill. And so there was no responsibility, love and responsibility. That's how Louis L'Amour, the great Western novelist, I quote a lot of his quotes in my book. In one of the movies based on his books, John Wayne says, you're born a boy, but you have to become a man. And he also says, you know, before you can be a gentleman, you first have to be a man. Right in the word gentleman is the word man. And so being a man, in Hawaii we have a word, Mark, kuleana. It means what your personal area of responsibility is. It means what your area of stewardship. It's more than that, though. It's you know, the philosophical term telos, your true end, your true purpose. Every man has a unique calling that's just for him. And when you take on that kuleana as if it's you, kuleana means you, your responsibility really identifies you. When you enter into your kuleana, suddenly everything feels right. Jesus said the words, "Take on my burden because it's light and fits perfectly." When you're not carrying that load, you just don't feel right. And so love and responsibility, they're the same thing. They're the same thing. They're not two different things.
You mentioned a moment ago Louis L'Amour, the Western novelist, and you brought up John Wayne. The subtitle of your book is "Where Have All the Cowboys Gone?" Now, that kind of suggests that you're holding up these old school traditional icons like Louis L'Amour and John Wayne and the Lone Ranger as models of manliness. And that resonates with me, actually, because I grew up with those kinds of cowboys who modeled for boys and young men a sort of ideal of virtuous service. Where have all the cowboys gone? What's gone wrong in our society with manhood?
I go back to that men stopped being responsible. And then they betrayed the women. I remember my wife when we were training. I was teaching her to tandem surf with another guy, and I'd been teaching them on several occasions. And they would train, and because I'm a world champ, I'd have trained a lot of world champs too, right? So I would videotape them, then bring them into into the condo and say, okay, you can do this, you can change this. Well, one day she held back. And she came in really distraught, and she said these words: "Someday, some man somewhere is going to teach men how to be men again." And it was like at that moment the Holy Spirit gave her that anointing to be with me, you know. And we fell in love tandem surfing. But women are asking, begging for men to be men again. But so many women have been betrayed by men, and so they're man haters, and they're raising sons. And by a woman who hates men. And so we need men to, in a sense, almost father each other in some cases. You know, there's a verse, 1 Corinthians 16, that says, "Act like men, be on the alert, stand strong, do all things in love." So it's not macho, but it doesn't say act like a man. It says act like men. In other words, you need to be with other strong men. Who you hang around is who you become. So carefully choose those two or three or four men that you'll have breakfast with once a week, or a cigar and whiskey once a month, and that can challenge you, encourage you, inspire you. You can get gritty and real with, because you need to be with other men. And that's how we'll bring a manliness back. And the other thing is, here in Hawaii, it's the water that unites us all the different things the watermen do in the water. And so we are a tribe. Cindy says, "Wow, the men here are really a tribe." When I walk along the beach, the younger men go, "Uncle Bear, Uncle Bear," you know. Even the other day, I came out of the water about an hour after sunset, and it had been big, and I came in, and my wife said, "Oh, all the younger men are saying, there's Uncle Bear," you know, because, I mean, I'm old now, so there's a lot of men that are younger than me, but they respect their elders here, but the men also respect the younger men. They encourage them when we're out in the water. We correct them when they misbehave out in the water. There's that part of the role of the uncle that men who are good men need to start playing more and more. You know what? God the Father said these words: "I'm proud of my boy." Basically, when he said, "This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased."
Well pleased, yeah.
Yeah, and men don't hear those words from other men. "I'm proud of you." I say that several times a day when we're here in Waikiki, and I see a young man pushing a baby stroller, and I say, "I'm so proud of you. Look at your beautiful family. You're doing a great job." Or these young men that are on the beach who sometimes they feel so lost, they don't know which way to go, but I can affirm them. It's all kinds of ways to say, "I'm proud of you." And here's another thing. It is Father's Day. coming up. The 12 Rules for Manliness, Where Have All the Cowboys Gone? It's a great book for men to buy for each other, or women to buy for their husbands. But the way the Bible tells a man to love a woman, it says, men, love your wives. Husband, love your wives like Christ loved the church, which means you lay down your life for them. But then it says to the women, women, respect your husbands. To a man, the word love and the word respect are the same word. Men receive love when someone says to them, I respect you, Dad. I respect you, you know, to each other. It's Father's Day. People need to say to their fathers, I honor you. I respect you. You know, the Bible says, honor thy father and thy mother. And then it goes on to say it's the first commandment that has a promise. Honor thy father and thy mother, and all will be well with you. So it's so important, even if our fathers have let us down in a million ways, and there's not a single person who escapes without a father wound, you know. Honor your fathers and uncles and fathers. Honor the younger men. Tell the younger men, I'm so proud of you. And when they mess up, tell them, you know what? I know you're a better man than that. This is who you are, not that. You know, act like a man.
You mentioned a moment ago about no man escaping a father wound. There's a quote in your book that I think is really important for people to understand. And that quote is, the vacuum that an absent father leaves fills with demons. Now, I can vouch for the truth of that statement, and I think the evidence for it in society today is very clear. But what do you mean by saying that an absent father leaves a vacuum that fills with demons?
Well, really, it really does. You know, the father is the protector. You know, he's the one that smells the rat. He's the one that slays the dragons. And I literally do mean that vacuum fills with demonic personnel. I mean, real demons. And thank God for the sons that are raised by a single mom or has enough love in his family so that there is no vacuum, because there is a counterstatement, and that is, you know, God says, I am the father to the fatherless. So if you're being in a home without a dad, but man, that can leave a big vacuum. You know, there's another verse in the Bible that says, I will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children's to the father. The spiritual impact of the father is so profound. They did a Pew Research study on this. They asked the question, what percentage, where it's just the woman who takes the young men, that takes the children to church, a third of those children will stay in their faith. When it's the father and the mother, closer to 80% do. But when it's only the father, close to 70% stay in the faith. That's how profound the spiritual leadership of a father is. So we're like the umbrellas. And when we're not there to keep our families out of the rain, when we're not there to smell a rat and discern when something isn't right, when we're not there to bless our families and pray over them and pray with them at night, you know, we leave our families exposed. It's like a castle with no roof.
Another thing you write in the book, you say, instead of going back to the future, as the movie title goes, we need to go back to the virtue. What does it mean for a man to live a life of virtue?
Well, you know, the word itself, there's the classic virtues, the cardinal virtues that Socrates and Aristotle, Plato spoke about: justice, self-mastery, prudence, fortitude, which are called the cardinal virtues. The word cardinal means like the settings of a compass. And so it's to set a standard. And then St. Paul wrote about the other three theological virtues of faith, hope, and love. So if you add those together, that's what a man is. So to grow in virtue by first the battle in your mind is where it starts, not listening to the lies your mind is trying to tell you, thinking on the good things, thinking on what's beautiful, think on what's possible, think on what's excellent, as Paul said, is important. The battle starts there. And virtue is just making habits, a lot of little decisions, habitually making the habit for the true good. And then I would say the biggest battle in the realm of virtue for men today is pornography. It weakens their soul. John Paul II said that the problem with pornography isn't that it shows too much, it shows too little. And so you're looking at the outside of a woman and you're making her an object of lust instead of seeing the beauty, the interior beauty of a woman, and making her a subject of love. And pornography has just killed the destroyed men. They know that the amount of sexless marriages now is rising exponentially, because men are finding their gratification someplace else, and young men are like, why bother being courageous and asking a girl out on a date when I can get my sexual gratification someplace else? They miss the whole point. And so men must win that battle. I'm a Catholic, and so we have an interesting perspective on this. They asked Protestant pastors, what percentage of your men deal with pornography or lust? And they said, oh, maybe 10, 15, 20%. And the Catholic priest said, most of them, because we go to confession, So the reality is, so we all need to fight that, and we must win. We must win that battle, because it weakens you and shames you and destroys you, rots you from the inside out.
That's definitely very true. We live in a culture today in which our political and cultural elites literally cannot, or more truthfully, will not define the word woman. And they don't have much to say about men, except that they're toxic. You've already touched on this a lot, but is there a succinct definition that you have for what a man is that maybe young men who are confused about what manliness means these days might really be able to take to heart and might give them some kind of a epiphany, as you mentioned a moment ago, or a revelation about his true nature?
Well, his true nature, he's imago Dei. He's made in God's image. He's called by God as to be a son, as Jesus was called. He's also called by you to be a father. But the nature of a man, I think the truest that I say is it's grit and grace. A man's just a bucket of determination and a willingness to lay down his life for his family. It's about sacrificial love. It's not about being macho. These guys are all about, you can make all this money, you can have sex with all these women, these guys on the internet. Oh, it's just so empty. What an empty pursuit. The early church fathers, one of them, said that a man who fills himself like that is like a man walking down the street gulping in air, like he's eating air with a spoon or something. Aquinas said that the definition of an effeminate man is a man that seeks pleasure. You will find yourself when you seek out the responsibility that God's given you, which is basically to help other people. Who is it that God's calling you to serve? When you do that, you just feel so good inside, and you go, this is what I'm called to do. This is my true purpose.
I think that's a message that a lot of men don't hear much these days, and the message of sacrificial service. And I think that's something we need to re-inject into our cultural worldview. You have, the book is obviously called 12 Rules for Manliness. What are a couple of other rules in the book that have a sort of personal meaning? Well, I guess they all have a personal meaning for you, but is there one or two in there that are really most meaningful for you that you feel men should strive for today?
Well, the first rule is a man's got to have a creed, and a code he can live by. There needs to be that sense of one or two sentences that this is the way God made me, and this is what my purpose is in life. And then how you'll live that out is your code. One of the chapters that men really love is the one on being dangerous, because a man by his very nature is called to be dangerous. We need to be dangerous in the sense of being ready to physically fight to protect our family. A man who isn't physically fit enough to protect his family, who's neglected that area of his life, who isn't fit enough to have a long life and a productive life for his family, you need to have that physical ability to fight. I'm a second degree ninja black belt. I'm not saying you have to be trained like that, but every man should at least know how to do it, jab, punch, hook, uppercut, maybe a sidekick, you know, and a willingness or a plan of action, because every man's different. But there's a Hawaiian word, imua, and it means strength moving forward. And so in this area of being willing to fight, there's also, are you willing to take a moral stand? I know many men who, like, at work, they say, hey, we want you to be on our Pride, our Rainbow Committee this year for Pride Month. And they've said, you know, respectfully, it's against my belief. I have to decline that. And they don't get fired, but they don't get promoted. It's a sort of white martyrdom. You have to know. The Bible says, Peter says, have a reason for your faith. So be reasoned out why you make the stands. And by the way, saying you're pro-life doesn't make you pro-life. That just makes you having an opinion. Doing like what my friend Mark Houck did, you know, where he's standing on the corner with his 12-year-old son and ends up getting arrested. That is, that's being pro-life. My friend Kevin Cummings, who was on our sailboat, we were sailing, having our spiritual retreat. We have a sailboat in the Caribbean, and Kevin Cummings was on our boat this last 2-3 weeks ago. He started a home for women, you know, where when they're vulnerable, they can come there and have their baby, and for 2 years stay there and help. And they help train them. I was riding motorcycles with the Catholic Crossbearers in Cleveland, Ohio. Went to a Christian rock festival there, and this woman came up to me. She must have known I was the leader of part of the motorcycle group, you know, because we were filming our motorcycle show. And she said, "I want to tell you something. I had an abortion. You're only the second person that I've ever told." And I asked her this question: if there was a strong man in your life, your father, an uncle, a friend, or even the man who is the father of this child, would you have had the abortion? No. You know what the most cowardly thing a man can say to a woman is this: she's pregnant, she comes to him, she says, you know, I'm expecting, we're having a child. And he says these most cowardly words a man can say: well, it's up to you. Whatever you decide, I will support you 100%. That means, that screams to that girl, he's not going to be there for me. I got to have an abortion. So if a man will step up and maybe not marry that woman that he impregnated, but at least be there to help her through it all and be a father to that child. I don't know. I've gotten off on a little bit of a rant, but that's that moral courage. And then there's the being dangerous morally, but then there's being dangerous spiritually. Are you the kind of guy, when you get up in the morning, the devil goes, oh no, he's up? Right?
Yes.
I have a friend that I described that Jason Jones is like that. But are you that?
Oh yeah, I know. I know Jason Jones. He's been on the show, actually.
Oh well, I'm sorry to hear that. He's such a rookie. No, I he and I had a great friend. You know, he's here from Hawaii too. But yeah, that's what we say about Jason. And you know, so are you the kind of man that you pray over your family, that you take your children to church? Do your children see you in the morning when one of them gets up too early and they see you in your prayer chair? Are you a spiritual warrior? So a man in that sense, yeah. That one chapter, I think men resonate with that almost more than anything in the book.
Yeah, that's great. What's your Father's Day message for young men out there who aren't yet fathers?
I go back to that statement: do not be afraid to take Mary to you as your wife. Do not be afraid to be married. But young men, for gosh sakes, you probably don't need a degree in humanities from a liberal college. You know, I had to take a drink of water. I remember I had choices to make when I went to college, and I chose to become an accountant. You know, I'm a CPA. And I'll tell you, I enjoy my work, but I don't find my fulfillment in my work. I find my fulfillment in providing for my family. And so young men, you know, think about what am I going to do for a living to take care of my family? Maybe I should go to a trade school. You know, when you go to college, think about, am I going to be able to make a good living doing this, or am I going to end up reciting poetry at Starbucks or something, you know? So, you know, I got to play football with Uncle Rico from Napoleon Dynamite. The cast was here in Hawaii. We went to the movie, and I remember one of the characters in the movie, Napoleon Dynamite, says, girls like men that have skills. Well, it's exactly right. Develop practical skills, money-making skills, by the way, and have a plan. Women love a man that has a vision. Women are attracted to older men. Really, they're attracted to powerful men. And when they're younger, they mistake that for the jerks, the bullies, the macho idiots, but they're attracted to a man that's powerful. Well, a man that has a vision and has the confidence and the boldness to pursue it, that's very attractive to a woman, because she knows, you know, maybe someday we'll have a baby and that man will be able to take care of us and provide for us. So prepare yourself for that woman. In the meantime, pray for her. If you've never met her, pray for her and be chaste towards her. Be faithful to her, even though you've never met her. And then when you find a girl that kind of looks twice at you, I call it the, we here in Hawaii, we call it the 10-second rule. Yeah, when I was a younger man here, if a girl looks at you and then looks back within 10 seconds, you got to go ask her out, you know, because there aren't going to be too many girls who want me to ask them out. So, you know, be bold enough. When I was up in Montana and I was giving lectures at all of these universities, there was one young man that was at one of the colleges there. And about the third time that day I had a session, he was there too. He came up to get a book and I said, you know, there's this girl that's been kind of stalking you, dude. She's been shadowing you. He goes, yeah, I know. Kind of think she's cute. And I go, well, have you asked her out? And he goes, well, I don't know. What do you think? And I go, ask her out. So he walks away from me. And about 5 minutes later, they both come back towards the table. And he comes over and whispers to me, she said yes. You know, so don't be a coward. Ask a girl out. Get rejected a million times. You know, remember when Adam had to name all those animals, you know, and none of them were worthy of him. None of them were to be his companion. And then he found Eve. So maybe you ask a lot of girls out and they're not the right person. Eventually, you will come across your Eve. And then date her for 100 days. And if you don't think she's going to ever be someone you could marry, then you have to end it. But within a year, you should know whether you can marry her or not. And if you can marry her, you should ask her. And then you should actually get married. And after that, have sex. And after that, have babies. My first baby, I was a virgin on my wedding night, dude. My first baby was born almost 12 months exactly later. Let's be men again.
Barry, you've got a lot of things going on. How should people keep up with what you're doing?
Well, we'd love if they go to our schoolofmanliness.com. There's a place there women can participate in too. They can go there and buy the book, 12 Rules for Manliness, Where Have All the Cowboys Gone? They can go to Amazon. If they go there, it's really cool because it bumps up our algorithm. And Amazon, the book's been bumping into the top 10 in its category, so that helps that. But also, my wife and I are going to start a new TV show, Spirit of Adventure with Bear and Cindy Wozniak, just because when we filmed here in Hawaii, our motorcycle show in our fourth season, everyone kept saying, we want more of Cindy. So we're just going to be filming her and I, our adventures here in Hawaii, and we're going to use that as a way to sneak in inspirational messages too. So that's the YouTube channel is Spirit of Adventure with Bear Wozniak, so they can go there too.
Oh, that's awesome. Bear Wozniak, thanks for coming back to The Right Take, and happy Father's Day to you.
Yeah, aloha, and I'm proud of all you fathers out there.
Listeners, the book we've been talking about today is 12 Rules for Manliness, Where Have All the Cowboys Gone? And I really urge you to get it for a healthy dose of wisdom about how to reclaim the kind of manliness that our culture is desperately in need of today. Thank you again for joining me here at the intersection of politics and culture. Don't forget to subscribe to The Right Take so that you can keep up with all the important conversations we're having here. And if you like what you hear, please leave that positive review. Be seeing you. The Right Take with Mark Tapson is a project of the David Horowitz Freedom Center and Front Page Magazine. Unauthorized reproduction of this podcast without express written consent is prohibited.